Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We are continuing on the October Pocus Month special, where every single podcast this month is all about point-of-care ultrasound. And we've already done a couple. We're now moving on to a different topic. And this time around, we're going to actually talk about something that is not directly related with the POCUS as far as we're getting the final answers with our ultrasound there, but it's more to set up appropriately our radiology colleagues. But before we go too far into this subject, just a quick reminder that Practical POCUS has upcoming courses in Missouri at the end of the year. You want to get the discounts while you can, go to Total EM where you can get 10% off, but it's only for this month. You need to get on this quickly if you want the special discounts. So before you forget, go ahead, check out practicalpocus.com for some more information. All right, back on track. Let's talk about what we're doing here. So instead of an exam where we're going to get all the information, we're going to answer our questions that we need. Yes, in a sense, we still are, but really this is more to set up our radiology colleagues. How often, if you're working in a department where you aren't checking the bladder of every patient before you send them over to radiology, do they have to come back because they don't have adequate filling of their bladder? And this happens a lot in people who either we are just trying to get them over quickly as possible, maybe radiology is already there with an ultrasound tech that can do it, or we aren't checking with this in advance. Fortunately, in my shop, we have some things built in place, but that's really more for adults that we plan for, because with adults, we can go off a certain size and our nurses can do it pretty quickly and that's it. But what this study does really well that I really like, different from previous studies, is that they focus on a pediatric population, but it's all the same stuff that you can do in an adult population. So if you only take care of adults, don't ignore this podcast because it can still help you out. Because again, the main thing that we're looking at here is a qualitative, not a quantitative bladder size. Because the more full the bladder is, we can get that appropriate imaging. And what's even better is if we're supposed to wait until they have this maximum fullness, well, that can come on sometimes very suddenly for patients. And sometimes they still may have been able to go over to radiology a lot sooner if we just kind of checked them in advance. It was like, hey, they got actually a pretty large size bladder. Let's go ahead and go versus waiting for them to hit that maximal fullness. Also, we have to keep in mind, I see this a lot, especially with OB patients who are adults, is that they feel like they have to go, and they have to go right away. They can barely wait. And we've had patients before who had to urinate before they were able to get the ultrasound tech there because the ultrasound tech waits until they're ready. So, I mean, there's so many moving parts of this that makes this a big issue. So I like the fact that they did a qualitative versus an actual quantitative approach, not only because it's a pediatric population. So the bladder size or volume is going to be very different in, say, an 18-year-old versus an 8-year-old, which was the range in this population. 8 to 18 years of age. But the other benefit is that we can really get a better understanding. Like sometimes bladders are just naturally wide. And if you're going off of just a width, like what the department does for adults, then you may be actually missing some patients where they really don't have that full of a bladder. So the images aren't as good as they could have been. And what we really want to avoid is having the patient come back to our department without definitive images and then either, you know, the radiologist like this can't tell me anything, we need to go back, or we just have to wait in general until the bladder is more full. So let's help out our radiology colleagues by getting the best exam possible. So this paper was once again an Annals of Emergency Medicine paper by Dr. Desi et al. And it is point of care ultrasound assessment of bladder fullness for female patients awaiting radiology performed transabdominal pelvic ultrasound in a pediatric emergency department, a randomized controlled trial. Again, this is something that doesn't have to be just in pediatric patients. And they even talk about this. You can do this in adults too. Because although we want POCUS for rapid identification of stuff, there are some things that are better performed by radiology for either a more complete exam or to look for some things that just we generally aren't as trained on. You know, looking for an IUP, okay, we can be pretty good about that. Looking for fetal movement, fetal heart sounds, we can be pretty good at that. Sometimes it's hard to visualize the ovaries well. Sometimes it's really hard to actually find the ectopic pregnancy. And so, you know, some things we can do at point of care, but some things better than others. So maybe we just need to still get that formal exam. Well, usually a good approach with this is do your point of care exam as you are getting started. So basically, you grab the curvilinear probe, you start looking. Let's say it's for a pregnancy. Okay, you got an early pregnancy. There's not a confirmed IUP. Okay, I scan through. I see what looks like an early IUP, an early intrauterine pregnancy. Well, I can't see everything well enough that I feel comfortable with it. And maybe because this is the first time, my department's policy is that you want to get a formal ultrasound to help further rule out ectopic and look at adnexal masses and, you know, actually making sure that there's no signs of ovarian torsion, stuff like that. So this is a very limited exam, but maybe we still need to do some more stuff depending on protocols or maybe for our own clinical gestalt reasons. So we want to make sure we're not missing out on ovarian torsion, ectopic pregnancy, ruptured ovarian cysts, tubo-ovarian abscesses, you know, these high acuity pelvic pathologies that we really don't want to miss. So at the same time that you're doing that quick point of care exam, you then can look at the bladder. And basically, you're looking for, as they describe this trial, basically three categories of qualitative values. So you're looking for small, which is minimally distended or a collapsed bladder, a medium-sized bladder, which is moderately distended or rectangular in shape, and then a large bladder, which is fully distended or ellipsoid. We do have images on the blog side, so please check that out when you're doing this as well, because you can see directly from the study what they were using as far as the images go. And we have them both in transverse and sagittal views of the bladder, so you can get a really good understanding. And really, you should be checking both ways to get the best information on this. But what we want is a large bladder whenever possible. Okay, so in this study, to help kind of differentiate here, in the usual care group, the patients, their endpoint was a bladder fullness sensation of 3 or 4. And there's a whole graph on this, but basically a 3 is like, I have to urinate, but I can hold it for maybe like 15, 30 minutes. And then a 4 is I really have to go, and I can't hold it for more than 5 or maybe 10 minutes. So again, this is that sensation which can come on very, very quickly, and some patients just really can't tolerate it well, especially our pediatric patients or OB patients, or, you know, even if for some reason we're looking at older patients with bladder issues or stuff like that, you know, there's enough different patient populations where this can be a real issue. So instead, in the POCUS group, what they did was they got to a large bladder size, again, that fully distended or ellipsoid appearance, or they reached that maximal sensation, whichever came first. And they were assessing patients every 30 minutes, which I know can be difficult, especially in a busy department, but a lot of times you'll be surprised at how good of a bladder you can see early on, even if the patient doesn't have that sensation. So of the 120 patients that they had in this study, of those who were in the POCUS group, they all had successful pelvic ultrasound on the first attempt, with only 85% roughly in the usual care group. And a lot of those patients, I mean, really, they had a much better exam with the POCUS. They had a better bladder size and a better bladder volume to get that done. But the part that is really neat here, the part that is really helpful for us, is that between the usual care arm, the median time of ultrasound was 139 minutes, so over 2 hours. Whereas the POCUS group was less than an hour and a half at 87.5 minutes for their median. So an absolute difference of 51.5 minutes, almost an hour. And really, if you're going back to that whole ultrasound thing, yeah, you may have to scan them a few times, which the nurses or other clinicians, you know, someone can do along the way. But a lot of times, I think you'll be surprised with how long that patient's been there, if they've been told not to urinate. By the time they get back in a room and the initial clinician evaluates them, you may find that they already have a large bladder, even though they don't have that 3 or 4 sensation where they had to urinate basically within the next 30 minutes or so. So again, this is something that we really want to make sure that we know in advance, because it can save us a lot of time. And think about it, with these serious pathologies, we want to save as much time as possible, especially when we think about like torsion. An hour could be a real difference long term. So the sooner we can recognize it, the better. Now, of course, there are going to be limitations with any study. One of the big ones was that there was a lot of convenient sampling here. So unless the overnight physician researcher was enrolling patients, there were no research assistants at night. So it was basically from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., which could change, you know, some of the patients that we're assessing as far as what's going on. Of course, there's a subjective component on this too, because, you know, they could be looking at the images, the researcher, whoever was doing this, and looking at the patient's feedback as well as far as their sensation, and then deciding, oh, maybe this is a larger bladder or not. So this is always a little bit difficult, but the randomization should have helped a little bit with these limitations. Of course, we run into other things that randomization should have helped with. And that is the availability of the ultrasound machine, because there's only one in that department, which most departments really only have one, maybe two machines if they're lucky. But if you have two machines, it's probably because you're using it so much that there's always going to be someone using it. So it can be very tricky to get that. Of course, the ability to transport over to radiology, the availability of the ultrasound technician themselves. So all these things can play a role. But I feel like what is actually beneficial with this trial is it is so pragmatic, because these are real obstacles. It doesn't matter if we have a perfect study where we always had someone available in all of these roles, but a lot of times we're going to run into this. And out of 120 patients, again, you know, as randomized and as well done as that study was otherwise, this should have been an obstacle that would have been covered, that would be okay. So again, I don't worry too much about that, but I think it's worth mentioning that still, even with those potential pragmatic factors, we're talking about a difference of almost an hour in getting these patients to ultrasound. And of course, that means, you know, faster reading and faster disposition, and all those types of things. Something else we need to consider is that, like I said, this is very easy to do, and a lot of times we're already going to want to look with the ultrasound for other things. For example, IUP. Maybe we're looking at the appendix because we just want to see, is there something there? If we have an obvious appendicitis case, well, that can change management right away. We don't need to wait for ultrasound and for that time delay. So there's usually a good reason for us to already have the ultrasound probe in our hands. And even if not, this is a quick exam by itself. It only takes about 2 minutes or less to do this and do it well. And really, in the hands of someone experienced, we're talking about 2 minutes from literally turning on the machine, putting the probe on, and then cleaning up the patient, and cleaning up the probes afterwards. This can be an extremely quick exam, and it's so easy to do. If you have not done this exam before, basically what I tell people is look for that pubic symphysis and start there, because a lot of people are scanning too high and they miss the bladder because they're scanning too high. And basically you're looking for this dark fluid filled structure, which again, the images are on the website. So please check out the blog with this to get it. But I mean, it's very, very easy. A quick suprapubic view, start scanning going superiorly, and you will run across the bladder, and very quickly and very easy to do. And especially when we think about the amount of time it saves and improving flow to the department and patient and staff satisfaction with this, because we aren't having these delays, all this plays a role. Now, some of you may argue that bladder scanners are a possibility. And yes, they can give us a gross volume, but they really don't help us with shape. And again, with certain patient populations, it can not only have issues with other cystic structures and possibly picking that up versus the bladder, but also in our pediatric patients or other patients where really a qualitative measure would be better than, say, that gross volume, because it's going to change based on age and other factors. So long story short, this is incredibly easy, only takes a couple of minutes or less, and is going to be great for helping out your department with the flow and helping out with patients and making sure that we're not doing anything unnecessary to cause delays in the department and helping those patients out and getting that definitive disposition. So long story short, it's simple, it's easy. Nurses can do this. The clinicians can do it. Pretty much anyone can learn this very quickly and get the images that we need. So long story short, just do it. Just do it. This is an incredibly easy exam. This is one of my favorites to teach our nurses, because they have to know it anyway. And this is a nice way to help out the department and get things moving along and take care of our patients properly. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.